Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, as we've mentioned, the marathon is still a few weeks away. And we wish Keith Drew all the luck in the world. But let's turn to some major sporting news a little closer in time. The Women's Hockey World Championship is on Friday, and the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team has already scored a major victory. They'd been threatening to boycott the championship because of a significant gap in salaries and funding that players get in comparison to the men. Here's Megan Duggan. She's the captain of the U.S. women's team when the boycott was first announced.
We're at the point where we need to kind of make a move and stand up for what we believe in and what we think is right and fair in order to make progress for not only women in hockey and women in all other sports, but just women in this country and what's, you know, what type of support is fair when it comes to their employers.
Well, this week, the women won their contract dispute, and they won big. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, joins us now with more. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Meghna.
So what did the U.S. women's hockey team manage to win here?
Well, first of all, let me mention that the people fortunate enough to be at the Only a Game 20th anniversary celebration a couple of years ago may remember Megan
That's
Duggan.
That's right.
She was an honored guest
That's right.
on that occasion, and we are prouder than ever of her. What they won can, I mean, our listeners can look it up. They won some money. They won some rights. They won some equal treatment, which is all very important. And
okay, just let me jump in here because for those listeners who won't
They
be
were
bought,
paid $1,000 a month for 6 months before the competition, the international championships, the world championships. Now they're getting what's much closer to a living wage.
$70,000 per year.
$70,000 a year.
Yeah.
And not only that, much more important probably is that they're getting the same sort of respect that the men got. They will be accommodated and they will fly as the men have flown, and they will be treated in a manner that indicates that they don't have to be second-class citizens any longer.
Just to put a little more grist in the mill here, before they put their feet down, or their skates down, I should say.
Or actually pick their skates up and said, no, we're not going to skate.
Yeah, I mean, another way to describe how profound the difference was in funding and respect. I mean, I take your point, Bill. USA Hockey used to spend about $1 million annually supporting the women's team. They spend $3.5 million on the men's development team, mm-hmm. which is the under 20s. I mean, that's another sort of measure of how giant the disparity was.
Yeah, the disparity was ridiculous in every respect. But probably more important in the long run is the fact that by saying they would not play until they were treated equally, they collected together an enormous group of people. Major League Baseball Players Association, NHL Players Association, NFL Players Association. These are men's unions that supported them. The USA Hockey tried to recruit replacement players. They went to the Pro Women's Hockey League. The head of the Women's Hockey Players Association said, how are we going to advance our game if we're scabs? We're not playing. They went to the colleges. The girls said, we're not playing. They went to the high schools and the beer leagues, and the female hockey players said, no, we're not playing. In other words, the solidarity is really the important thing here. And in the age of Donald Trump, and where we're still trying to deal with what Ronald Reagan did to unions in this country, this was a magnificent victory, not only for women, but for people who value solidarity and camaraderie in a struggle against unfair circumstances. So I couldn't be happier. And I hope they'll win the thing again. They're the defending champions, and I hope they win the world championship again. But this victory is a bigger deal than whatever they'll do on
the
ice.
I have to say, I mean, good for USA Hockey for finally coming around. But in hearing you say that they reached down into the high school leagues to try to find replacements for gold medalists.
Absolutely.
I mean, the USA women are world champions.
It would have been a disgrace.
I mean, that's pathetic.
It could have been an utter disgrace, and I'm glad that it
no
didn't
offense
come
to those,
that,
those,
right.
those high school
Great
hockey
kids.
Players, but
right.
Like, I mean, come on. And also in that wonderful list of support that you outlined for us, Bill, you didn't mention, and I think I saw this somewhere, that even members of the men's Miracle on Ice team.
Yes, and 20 U.S. senators. Yeah. Why there weren't 100 U.S. senators, I can't tell you, but at least there were 20, and it's a step in the right direction, so I'm for it.
All right, well, let's move on now to USA Soccer and the men's national team. Here's some sound.
Chuck Dempsey, goal! Number 56, and it's thanks to the kid. Just like that, the U.S. takes the lead.
All right. Well, that's Clint Dempsey scoring the only goal of Team USA's Team USA against Panama. The game ended in a 1-1 tie, and Team USA is struggling in the qualifiers for the 2018 World Cup.
Well, they're not struggling quite as badly as they were two games ago. They got one point against Panama, and they got 3 points against Honduras by beating them. So that was good. Before that, you could really characterize them as struggling, I think. They're not in a bad position. If they win their games at home and play reasonably well, they should be fine for qualifying for the Olympics. And it would certainly be, World Cup, excuse me, but it would certainly be a terrible disappointment if they didn't at this point in the development of soccer in this country.
They should be fine. A ringing endorsement from Bill Littlefield. Okay. Well, the next qualifying game is in June against Trinidad.
That's why I say it should be fine. I refuse to get upset about anything that's not going to happen until June. Too many other things to worry about between now and then.
You always remind me to maintain perspective. Okay, well, one of those things to worry about, how about March Madness? It's now moving into April. We've gone from 68 teams to the final four. Mm-hmm. Remaining teams in the women's and men's tournaments play this weekend for a spot in the finals. Sunday for the women, and then Monday for the men in the final. So what do you say? Who do you expect to see in the final, in the men's final four?
Well, I hate to make predictions.
I always ask you
But I will make one. It's Gonzaga against North Carolina in the men's final. That's my prediction. And it's based on nothing except the fact that just before I came in here, I looked and scratched my head and said, why not? So I don't really have any idea. At this point in the tournament, and really all throughout the tournament, what happens is somebody gets incredibly hot for some team, and sometimes it's somebody that the experts have expected to get very hot, and sometimes it's somebody who comes out of nowhere, and so it's very hard to make predictions, except I will predict that UConn will win the women's side because they beat teams by roughly 40 points every night, and it's very hard to see how they are going to be slowed down by anybody this time around.
That's not even a daring prediction. I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to say it'll be UConn and Mississippi State in the final for the women. I'm pulling for Mississippi
upset. UConn's playing Mississippi State in the semi. UConn-Stanford or UConn-South Carolina. I love UConn-Stanford because the matchup has so many subplots that we don't have time to get into, but I think UConn is going to come. I know UConn's going to come out on top of this one.
That's it for today. That's Bill Littlefield from Only a Game. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.